were once the scenes of crime. Men without scruple, armed with gun or hose, and greed beyond exhaustion. Those who died became the spoken idols of a time, now indistinct as photographs which pose the ragged militant's archaic pride. The gates are chained, the barbed wire fencing stands, an iron authority against the snow, and this gray monument to common sense resists the weather. Fears of idle hands, of protest, men in league, and of the slow corrosion of their minds still charge this fence. Beyond, through broken windows, one can see where the great press is paused between their strokes, and thus remain in air suspended, caught in the sure margin of eternity. The cast iron wheels have stopped. One counts the spokes which movement blurred, the struts inertia fought, and estimates the loss of human power, experienced and slow the loss of years, the gradual decay of dignity. Men lived within these foundries, hour by hour. Nothing they forged outlived the rusted gears, which might have served to grind their eulogy. Night thoughts over a sick child. Numb, stiff, broken by no sleep, I keep night watch. Looking for signs to quiet fear, I creep closer to his bed and hear his breath come and go, holding my own as if my own were all I paid. Nothing I bring, say, or do has meaning here. Outside, ice crusts on river and pond. Wild hare come to my door, pacified by torture. No less ignorant than they of what grips and why, I am moved to prayer. The quaint gestures which ennoble beyond shame, only the mute listener. No one hears. A dry wind shifts dry snow indifferently. The rook, rotting beneath drifts, sighs and holds. Terrified by sleep, the child strives toward consciousness and the known pain. If it were mine by one word, I would not save any man, myself, or the universe at such cost. Reality, heir to an ancestral curse, though fallen from Judah's tree, I take up into my arms my hopes, my son, for what it's worth, give bodily warmth. When he escapes his heritage, then what have I left but false remembrance and the name? Against that day there is no armor or stance, only the frail dignity of surrender, which is all that can separate me now or then from the dumb beast's fall, unseen in the frozen snow. Buying weapons. Beside the road, the 105s repeat themselves in ordered rows. I count the guns. A cold rain drives into my windshield, and I lose, in a vague blur, false clarity. After a moment, sight returns. Here are the old forms, barren tree, long unplowed field, graying barns, where now the smaller guns are housed. The howitzers command the eye, portentous wax, blunt barrels raised toward mute aggression's cold reply. Each one is coupled to its bride, an empty mover. Each resists time and the rain. Mechanic pride instilled in what is made persists beyond the term which use demands. I have come here to buy for one I never met, rebuilt Garands which I will never touch. The gun, the polished weapon aiming true, I can admire. Perfected skill which through the weapon will renew, no matter why or what the kill, a sense of human mastery. False mastery. Dominion proves the tool of sweet depravity. The source becomes the end it craves. Faced by these low, untroubled hills, this barren tree, the silent guns, a consciousness of thwarted wills, sad history of human gains imbues my vision. We succumb to what we call our mortal fate, until the craft of choice is numb, the master mastered, incomplete. I'd like to read a poem I didn't read last night, kind of different. Green Thumb. Shake out my pockets, beckon to the call of that calm voice that makes no sound at all. Take of me all you can. My average weight may make amends for this, my low estate. But do not shake, Green Thumb, as once you did my heart and liver, or my prostate bid good morning to. Leave it, the savage gland, content within the mercy of my hand. The world was safe in winter, I was spring, enslaved and rattling to the slightest thing that she might give. If planter were my trade, why was I then not like a planter made, with veins like rivers, smudge pots for a soul, a simple mind geared to a simple goal? You fashioned me, great-headed and obscene, on two weak legs, the weakest thing between. My blood was bubbling like a 10-day stew. It kept on telling me the thing to do. I asked, she acquiesced, and then we fell to private Edens in the midst of hell. For 40 days, temptation was our meal, the night our guide, and what we could not feel, we would not trust. Later, beneath the bed, we found you taking notes of all we said. At last we parted, she to East Moline, I to the service of the great unseen. All the way home I watched a circling crow and read your falling portents in the snow. I burned my clothes, I moved, I changed my name, but every night, unstamped, her letter came, ominous cramps and pain. I curse the vows that cattle make to grass when cattle browse. Heart sick and tired, to you, Green Thumb, I prayed for her reprieve, and that our debt be paid by my remorse. Give me a sign, I said, give me my burning bush. You squeaked the bed. I hid my face like Moses on the hill, but unlike Moses, did not feel my will swell with new strength. I put my choice to sleep. That night we cowered, Choice and I, like sheep. When I awoke, I found beneath the door only the invoice from the liquor store. The grapevine brought the word. I switched to beer. She had become a civil engineer. When I went walking, birds and children fled. I took my love, myself, behind the shed. The shed burned down. I switched to milk and eggs. At night a dream ran up and down my legs. I have endured, as godless Nazarite, life like a bone even a dog would slight. All that a dog would have, I have refused. May I, of all your subjects, be excused. The world is yours, Green Thumb. I smell your heat licking the winter to a green defeat. The creatures join, the coupling seasons start. Leave me, Green Thumb, my solitary part. The death of Saul, says an epigraph, is Saul also among the prophets? From Samuel. The sleeping armies of the living God embrace the king who could not wake or sleep. Their faith in him, who had no will to faith or faith but theirs, was more than he could bear. Hearing their leader's scream, they roused, unarmed, unsure of what they heard, the needs of terror calling through sleep. Nor did they understand when later beside a stream they strapped on armor, blessed and buckled halters, received their vows, the soldiers' vows which they would not fulfill, until they clasp the final lack of peace. Old roads led upward to the mountaintop, where he would flush the partridge of the hills, David, the stave with which God whipped his fury, a fury that was love, a love of self. He thought he saw him riding next to him, turned on his mount, thrilling the wayward flanks that stretched below. This time he could not speak, and when they leaned to touch, he saw his son. Not for the loss of David did he weep, but for the knowledge gained. The fear of death was but a shadow of the power of love, though death had fixed those eyes which turned toward his. Beyond the olive line, on sun-bleached rocks, the Philistines were closing ranks to charge. Violent, godless, their prayer for strength at arms descended like the driving words of God on those below, aching for certitude. The archers done, the first waves met and broke, their flanks closed in and locked, both forces joined, their differences obscured in smoke and dust. Habit or need, his dead and dying troops would never know what drove King Saul to kneel, a penitent upon those burning slopes, finding, too late in every godless act and every act of will, the will of God. And Jonathan was dead, the hope of Saul a trophy wrapped in scarlet lovingly. His brothers slain, their armor-bearers fled and crouched and wept by Saul, who knew too well the messages they lacked the strength to give. A king of God in death, he persevered, pride against pride deployed until it failed. His wounded ceased their cries. He was alone. The sword by which he lived was all he had, and so he turned to it, knowing the act would end his name and heritage forever, knowing the way, far from his living love, far from the shepherd boy conceived in grace, and further still from him he could not name.
I have one more lesson.
The water's running out. No, that's quick. The Drunkard, from a sermon by St. Ambrose. He fears the tiger standing in his way. The tiger takes its time. It smiles and growls. Like moons, the two blank eyes tug at his bowels. God help me now is all that he can say. God help me now. How close I've come to God. To love and to be loved, I've drunk for love. Send me the faith of Paul, or send a dove. The tiger hears and stiffens like a rod. At last the tiger leaps, and when it hits, a putrid surf breaks in the drunkard's soul. The tiger done returns to its patrol. The world takes up its trades. The man his wits, and bottom up he mumbles from the deep. Life was a dream. Oh, may this death be sleep.